Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, December 2nd, episode 101. In today's podcast, we're going to have three topics. With the NBA Cup having some big games, including one huge one between the Magic and the Knicks, we'll preview four notable games tipping off on Tuesday night. Next, we head to the college game. We've come out of Feast Week. Now we have the challenge week, I would call it, where you have the ACC SEC Challenge, and then the Big 12 versus the Big East. Five matchup. We'll talk about tipping off on Wednesday. I know lines aren't out, but I'll give you some early leans on what I'm thinking about. Last, we had to the women's game, and I know it's a I told you so, but we did. We'll recap TCU's big win over Notre Dame, a team that's gone from 17th in the poll this past week, barely even in the top 25 about 2 weeks ago, to a team that's now number 9 in the country and top 5 in net rating. But let's get started first in the NBA with a couple of really, I should say, four really, really good matchups tipping off on Tuesday night. And the first one we're going to look at is the Knicks versus the Magic. This Magic team has played really good basketball, folks. Since the loss of Paolo Banchero, I thought a lot of people, myself included, was concerned about how this team would look without the scoring Apollo. And honestly, it's been the play of Wagner. Wagner's been on an absolute heater as of late. And I think that's the thing that you want to look at where Orlando is where do they get their scoring from? Well, number one, they get their scoring primarily from Wagner, right, who has been really, really good. Like I said, scoring at about 23.4 points per game. So you look at them, and then obviously, Suggs is up to 15.2, Mo Wagner at about 12.7. So where do they hang their hat on? The defensive end. And I think that's where it's going to be interesting is when you look at this matchup, Knicks, with right now, they have their offensive rating is the second highest right now in NBA history. I think just behind the play of, I think, Boston last year, if I'm not mistaken. But the play of New York between Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns has been an unbelievable addition. Jalen Brunson just named Eastern Conference Player of the Week within the last couple hours. Mikal Bridges up and down, big 30-point burger that he dropped last night versus the Pelicans. Karl-Anthony Towns obviously playing some of the best basketball in his career, really fitting in well with New York. So it's going to be a battle of styles, offense versus defense. To me, folks, when the Lions come out, I'm looking at the Knicks team total under. I think Orlando does a really good job defending a three-point line. Jamal Mosley should be talked about as a leader in the clubhouse for coach of the year right now for what he's done with this team. I would say him and Ime Udoka. So right now, if you're looking at anything with that game, I'm looking under in Magic versus Knicks. Remember, the winner of that game will win their group. Meanwhile, the loser of that game most likely will get knocked out completely of the NBA Cup. Next matchup we have tipping off on Tuesday night features are the Memphis Grizzlies versus the Dallas Mavericks. And when you look at this matchup, Memphis is starting to slowly get themselves healthy. I think that's the important thing. You looked at Memphis with the injuries, particularly to Ja Morant, is how are they going to come out of this, right? How are they going to be able to come out of this injury bug? Well, obviously, we talked about the play of Jaren Jackson Jr. has been absolutely fantastic, right? Getting you 22.4 points per game. Ja's been really good. I like what I've seen out of Ja because I think he's willing to sacrifice himself as a scorer to be a little bit more of a facilitator. Ja Morant has played in the last three games for Memphis, scoring 19 points in each game, having at least 7 or so assists. So to me, I think you look at Ja and obviously the play of Desmond Bane getting you, which is, I would say, a down year for Desmond Bane in regards to the fact that he's only giving you about 13.9 points a game. Remember, folks, he gave you about 24 a game last year, but also remember, he missed half the season last year and Ja was hurt. and John missed a significant amount of time. So to me, you know, when you look at that matchup, you have to look at Memphis, who's playing really, you know, I would say better basketball as of late. You know, winners of their last, I do believe, six games in a row, including a big win by 15 over Indiana. A Dallas team, we'll see what we have with Luka Doncic, who's been battling some injuries as of late. So we'll see what we get out of that matchup. You know, so we will go most likely with the Grizzlies. I'm going to go ahead and take them plus the points because they're going to probably be road dogs. Next up, interesting matchup between the Spurs and the Suns. And obviously, when you look at the play of the Spurs, it's been the play of Victor Wembanyama, who just had a 30-point triple-double last week, versus a Phoenix team that's kind of got themselves back to health. We've talked a lot about Phoenix, about the ability to stay healthy, right? Can they put it together when everyone is there? And I think that's the thing that's always hard to do with Phoenix, is how to really gauge them as a team, right? Because you got to gauge one who's in and who's out. Now, obviously, you know, with Phoenix, they just won their last game, 113-105 versus Golden State. So this will be an interesting matchup. I'm looking right at Wemby to get a double-double. We'll see where he's hanging out. Could be major minus money. If not, look at Wemby to go over points plus rebounds, because he's really been on a tear. And I don't think someone like a Jusic Nurkic is going to be able to guard him. And I don't think you're going to put someone like Kevin Durant on him. So look at something in regards to Wemby, in regards to double-double or points plus rebounds. Victor Wembanyama, who's been really, really good, folks. And it's funny, like, Wemby has these stats where you're like, 24 and 10.2. And you're like, you know, could be better, right? Like, can he, you know, I was thinking about, you know, before the year, I think I said, I was thinking about Wemby somewhere around like that 25, 12 to 13 rebound, and getting about, you know, four assists and about three blocks a game. You know, if you look at Wemby right now, getting you, like I said, 24, 12, 3.6 assists, 3.6 blocks. Folks, he's not really awful what I thought. Maybe the rebounds could be a little bit higher. So we're going with points plus rebounds for Victor Wembanyama. Last game, intriguing, and that's Golden State versus Denver. Folks, I don't know how to say this. I don't know if anybody can figure out Denver right now. I mean, this team is literally all over the place. I don't know if this is, especially with the way Coach Malone is this could be a team that could really, like, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off, turn it on. Because a couple of times Coach Malone has questioned their play. They haven't won two straight games since November 8th and the 10th versus Miami and I think Dallas. They just came off a road loss to the Clippers, a Clippers team that's playing well, but I'm not a big believer in. Versus the Golden State team, though, let's be honest, folks, they already won their group. So, and I think they've advanced already, if I'm not mistaken, with that schedule. So it'll be interesting to see what does Golden State technically have to play for. I think that's something that you have to kind of look at carefully when you look at that NBA Cup standings. The Warriors have already advanced with a 3-0 record. Denver, it's more about a pride check here. So to me, this will be an interesting matchup here. Maybe for the fact that maybe you will think about taking the money line and taking Denver to get a win, because obviously going to the Mile High is always difficult. So really quick, looking at Knicks Magic to go under. We're going to look at the Memphis Grizzlies to go ahead in at 1-2 to go ahead and get a win. I think versus Dallas, we'll go with Wemby with a double-double in his matchup versus the Suns. And then we're going to look at probably Denver on the money line. We'll see how this all pans out. And I'll have more picks and plays Thursday afternoon on the Sports Grid app in regards to my favorite plays or props for the game. Moving on to the college game, because of the tournaments, or I should say the showcases, I would say, we have some really good matchups here tipping off on Wednesday, leading with Baylor UConn, and a UConn team that's an absolute shambles. I mean, shambles. I mean, Caravan almost gets concussed. You got Hurley running around acting like a maniac versus a Baylor team that's been up and down. You got to remember this Baylor team, folks, you know, got absolutely boat raced. I mean, I'm talking boat raced by Gonzaga opening night. So it'll be interesting to see here how UConn responds. And honestly, folks, until they get this team figured out, if they're playing a high-profile matchup, I don't know if I could take UConn, to be quite honest with you. I know their schedule's been very difficult, even losing to, you know, Coach Grant's team in Dayton, who's one of the best mid-major teams year in and year out. But you have to have concerns with UConn, Liam McNeely, Caravan. You know, Johnson has to step up at the center position. They're inconsistent shooting the ball from three. So to me, you know, when you look at it, you got to take a look at the team that's a better team. And the better team right now could be Baylor. So look at Baylor possibly plus the points. I don't see there's any way that they're going to be a favorite going to Hartford. Next, Alabama versus UNC. And this is just flat out should be an absolute track meet. The way that these two teams can get up and down the floor. I think that's something that's going to be a really exciting game. We obviously know about what they call the Carolina break, which has always been a thing since the days of Dean Smith. It'll be interesting to go, you know, with one team, both teams scoring at about 89 points a game to 90. This could be a high total. So we got to see what this is pregame. This could be a live play, folks, right? Let the game start slow, jump in. Because that game should be able to get up and down. You know, obviously North Carolina losers of their last two games. Alabama lost to Oregon, but they've also got wins over Houston, over Rutgers. Scored 100 points versus Illinois. That game should be a track meet. Let's see where they hang that total. Next game, Auburn versus Duke. Folks, is there a team playing better right now than Bruce Pearl? I mean, when they had that incident, you know, with the plane and all that nonsense, and you were concerned, well, what is Auburn going to go ahead and do? Well, okay, no problem. Since that incident that took place, they've gone on the road. They've beaten Houston. They beat Kent State, North Alabama, we don't care about, and then go Iowa State, North Carolina, Memphis, back to back to back. I mean, that's as impressive of a three-game slate that anybody's had in the country, especially over the case of 3 days, winning the Maui Invitational, versus the Duke team that's 5-2. But let's be honest, folks, when they, besides that, you know, that win at Arizona, who I think could be overrated, the other two times that they've gotten a quality opponent, they've lost. And that's both Kansas, obviously, out in Vegas last week, and then Kentucky and MSG. But when you look at this matchup, you're like, huh, this should be interesting here because this is going to Cameron Indoor. And you have two teams, Duke scoring about 81 points a game, Auburn, high octane offense at 87, but they're shooting 53% from the field. Now, Cooper Flagg is one of the best defenders in the country. Help keep them out the paint and force guys like Johnny Broome and others to shoot the ball from three. To me, if you look at anything, I think I may go Auburn T-total under. I'm not saying they don't win the game. I just think Duke was going to grind this thing out and make this a half-court contest. If you want to talk about grinding games out, I mean, Marquette, Iowa State, please come to the front of the congregation. Because this game is going to be, what is Kevin Walsh and I call it, and I'm usually wrong, but this one should be a rock fight. Now, Iowa State's offense has been absolutely fantastic, and you're going to think that they're going to want to score a lot of points, and they're more than capable of doing so. But I don't think people understand how good of a coach Shaka Smart is on the defensive side of the ball. I think people think of Shaka Smart, and they think of the old Havoc style that he played at VCU, the up and down, up tempo, you know, push the pace. You know, this is a little bit more of a grind it down. They have that attack of those three players that really kind of set everything up for them. So Marquette, Iowa State with a Marquette team, you know, that gives up only 64 points a game versus an Iowa State that scores 87 points per game. Interesting enough, and if you look at some of the games they've played, even a game versus Auburn, it was an 88, 83, 81 win. But that took Auburn a big comeback. I think this is going to be an under game for Iowa State. I'm going to take Marquette to get Iowa State to go under the team total. I think Shaka Smart plays this game at his play, at his pace. They rebound the ball well. Their whole team's a low field goal shooting percentage. I'm going to go ahead and have Iowa State go to team total under. Last game, Kansas-Creighton. And a Creighton team that's been, let's be honest, folks, a thorough disappointment versus the Kansas team that's played as well as anybody in the country. Now, you got to realize that Kansas may have gotten a little bit lucky because Hunter Dickinson decided to kick someone in the face and get himself thrown out of a game for a flagrant two. By the way, probably should have been a flagrant run, but because of the contact to the face, I can understand a flagrant two and him getting thrown out of the game. That being said, I think this is going to be I would like to say a good contest, but I can't trust Creighton in this spot. This Creighton team is just not playing well. They barely beat Notre Dame, who I don't think is very good. They lost three games before that, including scoring as low as 53 points versus San Diego State team, which I know San Diego State has been known for playing great half-court defense, versus a team in KU that's just rolling, folks, right now. So to me, I'm taking Kansas. Probably will be minus the point or on the money line. It could be a very slim spread. So really quick, I'm going to take Baylor over UConn. I'm going to take the over in Alabama and North Carolina, provided that that total is not high. If it's high, we're going to play it live. I do think that the Duke-Auburn game is going to be absolutely fantastic. I think Auburn goes under their team total. I think Iowa State goes under their team total versus Marquette. And I'm going to go ahead and take Kansas versus Creighton. Let's end today's podcast talking about a big win by Mark Campbell and his Horned Frogs, a 76-68 win over Notre Dame. A Notre Dame team, remember, folks, a week earlier had picked off Juju Watkins and Kiki Ariafin and USC. And when you talk about TCU, simply put, the way that they are playing, a lot of it has to do with Haley Van Lith. I don't think people understand how good of a coach Mark Campbell is and Xavi Lopez as a skill developer. I will say this, and I'm not saying this because I've known him and we've been friends for a long time. Xavi Lopez may be one of the best skill developers in college basketball, men's or women's. And Mark Campbell uses point guards as good as anyone. It's funny because when I was thinking about this, I equate Van Lith going to TCU to like Steve Nash going to Phoenix, right? When he got to D'Antoni in the 7 seconds or less offense. He was always good, even in Dallas. And him, Haley Van Lith was very good. And no disrespect when she had Jeff Waltz. She was fantastic with Jeff Waltz. But I feel like they've unlocked something more with her. Now, when we talked about the game and the preview, as great as Haley is, I told everyone Sedona Prince was going to be the key. And Sedona Prince just got named Big 12 Player of the Week, just dropped a 2020 game. Do know this is the first time since I do believe the 2018 National Semifinals, Kiera McCowan, when she was at Mississippi State, where a player has dropped a 2020 versus a top five team. And Sedona Prince getting at 20.1 points per game, 11.4 rebounds, had a 2020 game, and then turned around and got 17 and 13. Simply put, at 6'7", this kid who came back home to play at Texas, TCU, you got to remember, why is Sedona Prince really good too? Folks, she was recruited to Oregon partially by, guess who? Mark Campbell and Xavi Lopez. They know what they're doing. And I'm going to say this right now, folks. Mark Campbell is one of the 5 to 10 best coaches in women's college basketball right now. The way he uses his guards, the way that he's had that team playing. Folks, you got to remember something. TCU was a top 25 team in the country last year when he got beset by injuries. And it's coming, folks. It's coming. They got Florida Atlantic on, I think, Wednesday. And then the 8th, Sunday, 7 p.m., ESPN2, Dawn Staley in South Carolina come to town. And I'm telling you right now, the way South Carolina is playing, no, especially beating the way they beat Iowa State by 40, right? No one is going to give Mark Campbell and Chavi Lopez a chance in hell. But no one gave him a chance against Notre Dame, except for yours truly. Something tells me they'll be in the game. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for December 2nd, episode 101. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very, very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast, episode 102, we'll look at games going on Friday, the NBA Cup. And then we'll kind of wrap things up and we'll kind of get going a little bit. We'll preview that big South Carolina TCU game a little bit more in depth. And anything hoops related, men's basketball, women's basketball, NBA, and WNBA. Speaking of WNBA, I think they have their expansion draft this week, so we may talk about the Valkyries and who they just picked. For my producer, Matty George, Vinny does a great job with the graphics. Thank you for listening, folks. And remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's C-O-T-A.com. Good luck to all the runners.